Hi, and welcome to Dollars and Making Sense, a weekly program about finance, money, and investing. I'm Ray Trevison, your host from OTG Capital, and we broadcast every week on Radio Northern Beaches and nationally around Australia on the Community Radio Network. I'm really, really pleased to have back at the microphone again Justin Bott from Services Australia, or you may know them as well as Centrelink. So Justin, thanks very kindly for coming back on the show.
Great. As always, thank you so much for having me. It's a great opportunity to be here and just help give people information.
Wonderful, wonderful. So look, as I've always said to our listeners, DMS, Dollars Making Sense, is all about education. And I think one of the things we're going to cover today are some real basic principles about managing one's money and budgeting, because this really comes back to me in my old army days. If you fail to plan, you plan to fail. And budgeting to me is no different. And I think, you know, whenever I've helped people out with regards to, you know, whether I was a financial planner or just simply helping somebody in my family, this is where I start. You know, we get back to, you know, absolute base principles. And so what I'd like to really quiz you about is some of the free stuff. And we love free stuff here at DMS, love free stuff here at Dollars and Making Sense. And one of the things that I think many people don't know about is moneysmart.com.au. And this is a Services Australia government-run website, and ATO, I think. ATO help out at there as well?
It's moneysmart.gov.au, not .com.au.
Okay.
And it's ASIC, Australian Securities and Investment Commission.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah, so MoneySmart is anybody that's having anything to do with financial questions, MoneySmart is an absolutely great website to go through. Like, all financial planners should easily be happy to refer people to MoneySmart. There's just a whole lot of free, impartial tools for you to take access, take advantage of, as well as a lot of website information. So a lot of written stuff about a whole lot of different aspects of your investing life. I mean, we're not just talking about retirement here. We're talking from go to woe, from starting to superannuation and understanding how that is, to retirement planning and income streams, and a little bit of aged care in there as well. And some of the things that they have is a whole lot of tools. Some great ones for people when they're having difficulty managing their money. Budgeting tool, which we also have in the Services Australia's website. But they also have this one, which I love to scare people with, which is the credit card interest tool.
Oh.
Just to, when you go through and you start having an idea, you know, if this is my credit card and this is the interest rate that they're offering, if I do something like, you know, have $2,000 debt on my credit card and I pay the minimum amount, how long would it actually take me to clear that credit card debt? And that's when you're talking 10, 12, 13 years.
I know.
To pay that with the interest rate. That's so many times more than the initial outlay. And it's a great way to really make you understand how bad credit cards can be if you don't use them well. Of course, they're a great tool if you do use them well, but that may be something we'll talk about a little bit later.
Sure.
But that's on the MoneySmart website. So that's a great one. Services Australia also has a section called Manage Your Money.
Mm-hmm.
Our website, servicesaustralia.gov.au. So you just search Manage Your Money. And same sort of idea, a lot of tools that you can use to whatever stage you're at to sort of get more of a control. And with, you know, with costs and inflation and everything, having a little bit of more control of your money and more power in the decision-making of why I'm spending it and what I'm spending it on is going to give you that ability to then say, oh, I didn't realize I was spending this much on whatever amount. Actually, I want to spend that money on this for a holiday, or this for my retirement, or this to buy a car, or whatever it is that's got a better purpose than, you know, chewing gum or a newspaper or buying a bottle of Coke from the service station. So it's that getting that control back in your decision-making process when it comes to money.
I think one of the aspects that I think many people face challenges today is that we have virtualized so much of our cash and earnings potential. And I've recently written a content piece for one of our local magazines around kids and money, and how associating value with the number of paper runs that they may do, for example, to buy a video game. And I like to do the same thing even with adults and working people, because when you simply pay wave something, the idea that, you know, when you and I were growing up, there was this physical exchange of cold, hard cash. So there was a piece of paper, as it was back then, it's plastic now, but, you know, we were handing over notes and coins. And so you had this very physical transition of handing over money. Now it's all virtualized. And so I think it's very abstract. And so one of the things that, you know, looking at manage your money, and I'm looking at my screen here, ladies and gents, that as Justin said, servicesaustralia.gov.au/manage-your-money. And that's where the good stuff is. And so, you know, they've got budgeting, dealing with debt, a rent versus buy calculator, and building savings. And so, Justin, I can remember when I was an army officer, we used to teach budgeting to soldiers, believe it or not, as army officers. And I used to say to them, look, put a little bit aside. And we've talked about this on the show as well, buckets. You know, we use the analogy of buckets. Yep. And again, when you're budgeting, as you've got on your website, same sort of thing. But funnily enough, I'd say to my guys, listen, once you've put your money aside, I said, spend the rest. Spend the rest. And they're going, really? I went, yeah, sure. If you want to buy your Coca-Cola or whatever, after you've done your saving, absolutely lash out and enjoy, because that's what you work for.
I'm going to call that concept of paying yourself first.
Bingo, I love it.
And
thank
often
you.
That's when you do it with a direct deduction arrangement, either that through your wages automatically going to one of those buckets or an automatic deduction from your bank accounts. That's really helpful, certainly for protecting yourself from debt, because it's like, as you said, it's all about planning ahead. So think about the fact that you may be August every year, I know that I've got to come up with about $1,000 to register my car. Now, if I don't think about that, August comes, and if I'm the sort of person that has a credit card, well, there's an easy way to do that. But if I'm not managing my credit card, then what sort of level of interest am I charged to come up with that $1,000? Where instead, if I can plan ahead, what I can do is in September the year before, put a little bank account aside, create my car bank account, and have a direct deduction of a certain amount every month or every fortnight that goes into that car bank account, so that by August, it's about $1,000 in there. So I don't have to go into debt to cover this one-off cost. I've got the money available for me, and I use that money to then pay it, and it's because I planned ahead. I was not used to having it because it's just automatic. I'm used to not having it, in fact. I'm used to not having $1,000 or that little money going because it's all an automatic process and I don't even think about it. And then I'm ready with that bill to be covered. And you could apply that same rule, that same concept to things like your rates notices or your insurance bills and things like that. Anything where it's might come up with a big one-off payment, you can talk to the institution and ask them, can I do that as smaller automatic payments done every fortnight rather than a big lump sum one done in 12 months' time, avoiding the panic of where am I going to come up with that lump sum? I don't have it available. Do I have to go into credit? Do I have to owe money to people to get that amount available? Now, the only little condition I put on that is just make sure that if you're working with an institution, with your bank or your insurance agent, your whoever it is, that they don't add a little bit so you pay more for doing it monthly rather than doing it as a lump sum.
Exactly.
If they do that, then forget it. Do go back to the automatic bank account. Use that system. You don't want to have to be charged more for the privilege of trying to have small fortnightly amounts or monthly amounts now to avoid a big lump sum in the future.
I think many of the insurers and the energy companies and telcos have wised up and stopped charging these surcharges to pay in installments and making it easier for their lower income or let's say people that aren't able to have the discipline. And again, ladies and gents, pick up the phone, you know, inquire online as well. But there are many, many places that will do this and not charge. And I think, Justin, you make a really good point by, I guess these buckets are a really good way. And I love that concept. I'm glad you mentioned it because I used to say it to my guys, pay yourself first. And they thought, you know, that's a weird concept. And I said, well, look, once you've paid yourself, you then have all your other money bucketized. I use that term, bucketized. And then there's no stress because you know what's going to happen. And the funny thing is when I helped one of my family members do this budget, I sat down and projected on a spreadsheet and I said, here's what's going to happen. And this person didn't believe me. And, you know, 9 months later, I showed my family member. I said, here's where you're at. And I said, 9 months ago, I said to you, you'd have $5,000 in the bank. And they were absolutely gobsmacked because there was the $5,000 sitting there. They'd never seen that kind of money before. But I said, that's the discipline. But again, I think it's just that handy, you know, getting some guidelines. And ladies and gents, if you struggle sometimes to manage your money, Justin, this is a really wonderful tool that the government provides free of charge. And I think that's one of the really cool things that, you know, they're talking about budgeting and dealing with debt. And one of my very good financial planner friends, Philippa, she comes on and talks about women and finance. And I think one of the times a couple of years back, we just went on this rant. We didn't even intend to do this. But one of the things, Justin, that I keep on saying to people, you know, gambling is one of these awful things that, you know, it's perfectly legal. And I'm not trying to be a wowser. Hey, if you want to gamble, please, you know, you're an adult, do as you please. But if you're struggling to be paying your bills, the last thing you need to be doing is to be going off. And I'm really pleased that, you know, that some of the advertising now has these warnings. You know, you're going to lose more than you win. I wish it could be a bit more forceful again, because you're going to lose the lot.
So. One of the things, people, when you, it's the word budget that makes a lot of people very scared. And it's really important to put it into context of what it is that we're actually doing when you're talking about a budget. And the first thing is, it's not about a whole lot of things you're not allowed to do. You know, this is not what a budget's for. It's not saying you can't do this. What it is helping you realize where your money is actually going so that you can then make informed decisions about, well, did I actually want to be doing that? Is that really where I wanted my money to be going? So the first thing is that people are concerned about the whole concept of being told I can't have the fun that I'm presently having. But the second thing is that they actually think creating a budget is really a difficult thing to do, whereas creating a budget actually isn't necessarily very hard at all. And the reason it's not very hard is, again, certainly with the world being so much online and our transactions all becoming more electronic, if I want to know how I spent my money in the last 12 months, all I need to do is check my bank statement, my credit card statement, and if I pull out cash, I might need to do a little bit of work on where my cash has gone. But if I just put those two documents together, and maybe if I am getting a payment from Services Australia, I might want to get a deduction statement from them because I might be doing things with them as well. I just have to look through those for 12 months, and that is my budget. That is telling me where my money has actually gone. And from that point onwards, it's an issue of, all right, so I know where my money's gone. Is that where I want all my money to be? Now, there are going to be some things that I have to cover. We'll sort of set them, put them aside. We know we've got to cover those. But where else is my money going? What else have I been spending it on? And again, is that the sort of thing I want my money to be going to? So, you know, the classic example, I don't like bashing coffee because everybody bashes coffee and I know people drink coffee all the time. So we won't.
I don't.
We'll
I love it.
We'll leave coffee aside. We'll focus on somebody else. So say, you know, and when in the old days, when you did actually take out the cash and you knew that you had $50 in your wallet on Monday and you had no idea where the $50 went by Friday, you actually can't identify exactly where that cash went. And it's spending money on newspapers, chewing gum. I bought a bottle of drink from the garage because I was just thirsty when I was getting petrol for the car. You know, I didn't add these things together. I didn't realize that when I do add these things together, how much is actually costing me during the week. And when I then times that by 52 weeks in the year, we're talking thousands of dollars have been spent on non-essentials and just little, I guess, relatively frivolous choices. And again, you are absolutely allowed to do that. But is that really what you wanted to be doing? Are you doing it from ignorance? Or are you doing it because I'm aware of the consequences and I'm happy to do what I'm going to do. And if you're happy to do it, then again, that's your money. Spend it the way you want to. But if you weren't aware of the consequences and you get a bit of a surprise about exactly how much you've been spending on these things, well, then maybe there is some decision-making that you need to do about better choosing where to put that money and what to do with it.
Okay, it's just about time for a break. You're here on Dollars and Making Sense. I'm here with Justin Bott from Services Australia, or Centrelink as we may know them as well. We're going to take a short break and be back with you in just a moment. Hi, and thank you for listening to Dollars and Making Sense, a weekly radio program about finance, money and investing on Radio Northern Beaches and nationally on the Community Radio Network around Australia. The views, comments, and opinions aired during our program should not be construed or viewed as financial advice. Any commentary is general advice only and does not take into account your objectives, financial situation, or needs. You should consider whether the advice is suitable for you and your personal circumstances. If in doubt, you should contact an authorized, licensed financial planner. We welcome questions and feedback, and you can get in touch with us via our blog, social media channels, or email. Please search for Dollars and Making Sense in your favorite podcast platform or check out our blog at otgcapital.com.au/blog. And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Dollars and Making Sense, a weekly program about finance, money, and investing. I'm Ray Trevison, your host, and with me today I have Justin Bott from Services Australia, and we are talking about budgeting, about being able to put money aside. Now, Justin, before we went to the break, we were talking about budgeting and spending money and saving for yourself and spending money for yourself. But what I wanted to move on now is, let's say we've done all of that, but human beings and frailties that we have, all of a sudden, we've had a bad couple of weeks or whatever, and we've run into problems. And again, we're all about free stuff here. I wanted to bring you on the show and start talking to people about something I wasn't aware about, but there's something called Financial Information Service. So again, I didn't know anything about this. Over to you. Tell us all about Financial Information Service at Services Australia.
Well, we'll do it two things because they're not exactly the same. So, First of all, if you are having difficulty with credit cards, with the debts, it is actually getting too much. You're the sort of person that had to take out a third credit card to cover the cost of the other two. Then you do need help. But Services Australia's Financial Information Service is not actually where you need to go. What you need to do is call the National Debt Helpline. So if you are in that sort of way, please give the National Debt Helpline a call. Their phone number is 1-800-007-007. That's 1-800-007-007. They will be able to link you up with financial counsellors who can work with you and also work with the people that you owe money to come up with repayment arrangements. So that is, again, free service. It's there for anybody if you're in that financial need.
Now, so all you got to remember then is James Bond. 1-800-JAMES-BOND-JAMES-BOND, and that's going to help you if you need help with handling debt.
So trying to make money problems not become worse, how to get out of some of the situations that you're talking about. Now, separate to that, through Services Australia is the Financial Information Service, and I'm a massive fan of the Financial Information Service. So that is a free financial education service that Services Australia provides across Australia. And so the way that I describe them is they're sort of like adult educators of money. Their job is to teach people about money, and they are available to anybody. You certainly do not have to be a Centrelink customer to take advantage of their services. They will talk to you if you are 18 and you've just started your job and your boss has asked you to put money into a superannuation fund and you have no idea what he's talking about. They will help you if you're 35 and you've got, a mortgage, but you're looking at investing, but you're not sure, share portfolio over property, what's good about them, what's bad about them. Or they'll help you as you're approaching retirement, looking at retirement income streams and superannuation and where you go. And their purpose is to teach you so that you understand your options. It's, again, that concept of financial education. What's out there? What's the language that everybody's talking about? There's all new words that I've never heard of before. They don't seem to make any sense to me. They don't fit in my understanding of basic English, but everybody seems to be using them. I don't understand exactly what people are talking about. The Financial Information Service is a free way to get that information so that when you have to make the decisions about finally choosing this investment, this superannuation fund, this strategy, you understand what you're getting yourself into. You've got the knowledge that says, all right, I'm confident that I'm making the right decision. Now, we're not in competition with financial planners because we don't do what financial planners do. We're not licensed to do that. So you can't.
You just read my mind.
Always comes up. It's one of the first things. People ring up the Financial Information Service and say, I need advice. And our response is, we don't do advice. We do information only. So you will need, if you want advice, you actually go to an advisor who's licensed to provide that. We are not licensed advisors. We are an education source. So the way that we work with the financial industry is, again, hoping that making your planner's life easier, because we're actually going to explain the concepts. You know, my financial planner is recommending I buy an account-based pension. I don't understand what an account-based pension is. I've never used the language account-based pension before. Financial Information Service can help explain that to you for free and no cost. So, yeah, it's a great service that's available through Services Australia. If you want to come in and sit down or speak to one over the phone, you give us a ring on 132300. That's 132300. And you just say financial information when you ask for the reason for your call. That'll put you directly through to one of our financial information service officers, and they'll take it from there for you, wherever you're at whatever stage. We've got information available to help you then move on to the next point of where you need to be.
I think one of the things I'd like to maybe drill down a little bit then, Justin, because I've had, you know, I've had the executive director of the AIOFP, which represents a lot of financial planners. I've had planners on the show. I in the industry, many, many financial planners. And, you know, given the fact that, you know, we've lost pretty well over half of the financial planners over the past 3 to 5 years because of regulation, because of age and the different standards now and a lot of confusion in that space. As a result, we're now talking about, you know, the average financial plan is going to cost anywhere between $3,000 to $5,000 or more, depending on what you come to them, you know, and the problem that you need solving. I guess one of the aspects that, you know, we're trying to address as an industry is being able to service a lot of people that aren't simply going to have the means to be shelling out $3,000 to $5,000 for a financial plan. And again, I'm not trying to pitch the financial information service head to head with financial planners per se, but certainly if you are a minimum wage, low income, or on the pension, for example, the financial information service, it sounds like it's a really good starting point, is it not?
I think we're a great starting point. So you're right in saying that there is going to be a group of people who really are either not attractive to financial planners or just can't afford financial planners. You know, if I'm just starting out to invest, I've got nothing. There is no resources for me to go to a financial planner and say help, because they've got no money to move around. I'm really starting from scratch. So if I want to understand the difference between the share market, the property market, and what a term deposit does, you know, the Financial Information Service is a free place where I can get that done.
Brilliant.
The other thing that you can do, and I'll do the plug as well, is that we actually have a free webinar series that you can find again on our website. So if you go to the financialservicesaustralia.gov.au, look up Financial Information Service and webinars, you'll find that there's a history of ones that you can look that have been recorded, and you'll see ones that are coming up that you can book into and join in an interactive webinar. And they are covering a whole different range of people's life. So some of them are going to be focusing on approaching retirement, some about women and superannuation, because, again, that is an issue that everybody's having to deal with. Might be I'm starting and I'm just the basics of investing.
Yeah, so I'm actually on the website right now, and it's got these. You can watch recorded webinars as well as attend them live. But, ladies and gents, you know, as Justin was saying, superannuation basics, retrenchment, looking for work, financial fitness. I like that term. That's great. There's so many topics here, and you can go back and look through the archive. But you know, the new ones that are coming up later on this month, age pension choices, and again, one if you get retrenched and looking for work. So these are really good starting points, aren't they?
They're great. It's a choice for you to be still at home, but interactive, and a lot of information available in an hour and a half, where that information is there for you to learn a lot upfront. And the age pension one is absolutely great for anybody who is approaching age pension age and looking at having to apply. There's a lot of nuts and bolts about the pension there, so do recommend it if you're in that sort of circumstance. But now, again, that's what the Financial Information Service does, just information for anybody that needs it.
Now, you were telling me off air, you actually come to this interview with a lot of experience when we're talking about the Financial Information Service, because you used to be one of the officers, weren't you?
I was Northern Beaches Financial Information Service officer for close to 15 years. I was.
Wow.
So, yeah, that's why I'm a big fan of the service, because before I moved into my present role in media, that's what I did. And it was interviewing people. So we'd be interviewing people every day. We'd be doing these seminars or these webinars all just every day, trying to teach, in my case, your Northern Beaches customers, but teach them about money issues and help them understand what's going on, and again, at whatever stage. So one of the big issues that is we're dealing with at the moment is that concept of I've got a lump sum. Maybe I've got a compensation payout, or I've received an inheritance payout, or whatever it might be. Again, I've never had this sort of money before. I don't know what to do with it.
It's a big challenge, isn't it?
Yeah, so we're not going to tell you what to do with the lump sum, but we will explain to you the different choices you've got and the different implications of those options. And it may well be that the quite clear implication that you walk away with is I need professional help. And so there's a reason we can also explain what financial planners do and why they charge the fees that they do and what you should expect in a financial plan. So you've got that sort of arrangement and relationship. You understand that when you go into it as well. So it's just the whole concept of the financial world, the money world, how can I learn about it so that I can then interact with it more, use it more effectively, use my professionals more effectively, and get the best results to ultimately live the retirement that I want to live and live the lifestyle that I want.
Fabulous. Fabulous. Well, look, we're just about out of time, Justin. This is great content. Look, you've highlighted some really wonderful resources that the general public can get a hold of. You've got experience, as you know, having been one of these guys for 15 odd years, and you know, I'm really pleased that you've come on the show again, and I know we're going to welcome you back again. Justin Bott from Services Australia, again, thank you for being on Dollars and Making Sense.
Absolute pleasure, Ray. Thanks so much for having me.
Wonderful. Until next time, adios.